Manhattan, New York City, to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Well, here we are. Welcome to the big radio show. We've got a little bit more on Kavanaugh. We've got the president declassifying a bunch of documents regarding the FBI. Tomas Santana sends me a tweet about full and fair FBI investigation. The FBI isn't exactly the most trusted source in America nowadays, considering the hijinks they've been engaged in with regard to Trump. You're absolutely right, Tomas. So where do we go from here? Let me get Mark from Louisville in to see what his take is on this whole thing. Hello, Mark. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom. How are you, sir?
Good, good. What do you think?
I think this was Dianne Feinstein covering her butt. And I think it's very similar to what Comey did with Hillary's laptop, where they had this, they were sitting on it. I think I think if there was some other way that they could have taken Kavanaugh down with a Spartacus moment or whatever, she wouldn't have pulled this out.
True.
But she knew that people in her office knew she was sitting on this letter, and that if he got confirmed and she had sat on it, they would have ripped her to pieces.
Yes.
And hung it on her.
Yes.
And I think this was her preserving her butt, which really disappoints me because I've always had a decent amount of respect for her, even though I don't agree with her. And I mean, it's completely unfair.
So here's the deal with Dianne Feinstein. Let's get everybody up to date on her, because she's running for the 800th time, and the way it works in California, first of all, the California Democratic Party took a vote before the primary, which was back in the summertime, and took a vote and decided to give their support to her opponent, Kevin DeLeon. So here is this woman, long time Democrat, leader of the Democratic Party, and the Democrat Party of California said, we prefer this younger guy than to you. It's time for you to go sit down. Well, that has happened before, where the parties pick somebody that the party likes, but the voters did what most voters do. They go into a voting booth and they go, I recognize her name. Okay, I'll vote for that name. They vote for the name they recognize, right? It's marketing. So they see Feinstein, they vote for her. So she wins the nomination. But the way it works in California, they've got this jungle primary out there where whoever gets the top two vote getters in total number of nominal votes are going to be in the runoff in November. Well, guess Republicans can't scrape together three votes in California. So guess who is her opponent in November? Kevin DeLeon. So she's running against the guy again that the Democrat Party of California said, we want him, and she's scared to death. To make your point, she is scared to death that Kevin DeLeon is going to overthrow, and the people are going to, this time, vote. If this came out, they would vote for him rather than her, and she would lose her seat. I mean, I'm sorry.
If she sat on it and he was nominated,
so
they crucify her.
Yeah. She comes from, her family is very wealthy. Her husband is a very successful businessman. They have oodles of money. So she's not doing this for money. She's, how old is she, Andy? 78? She 80 something. 84, I think.
She's going to be 92, 85. I think.
Yeah, she's 85. So why doesn't she go home and let somebody else take her place? Because this is that drive that a lot of those people have, that they are obsessed with being a senator or a congressperson. It's not about anything other than their power. That, I think you're right. She is scared. She was scared to death, and she has some real competition this time. So
I don't think she would have disclosed this, because she knows that, you know, and frankly, it's completely fundamentally unfair. I mean, if this woman can't even say what year it happened, and no less where, and win, how do you, it's impossible to defend yourself.
Yeah, I mean, the flip side of the flip side of your argument, other side of the coin is, look what a hero I will be if I am able to topple this guy. Now, if somebody else topples him first, then that's fine. But if not, I've got this weapon up my sleeve, and I'm going to use it, and I will be the hero of the Democrat Party.
No, and I think you nailed it, which is where we are right now. And you're even hearing this, Simone, and I forget her last name, I apologize, who was a pundit on one of the talk shows this weekend, was like, we need to find other women. And she basically turned and looked at the camera and said, you, if you come forward, you will be one of the most powerful women in America in preserving, you know, the insinuation right. being that you can protect Roe versus Wade.
Right.
But they were doing everything but saying, look, somebody, just come forward. All we need is one
call
person.
Now. Call now. 800.
Call now. And we will, I mean, anybody, you will be the most powerful person yeah. in America if you call. And they're, I mean, the hotlines are waiting. I'm waiting for the, you know, like they do after the disaster with the celebrities.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be playing music, and then you'll see the celebrities on the phone waiting for anyone to call. And frankly, the fact that no one has is probably the best.
Well, I'm not sure, Mark. I'm thinking that they have got other names that they're holding until the 11th hour again on Sunday night.
To Chuck Todd's point, though, they would like him to step down now.
Yeah, Chuck Todd. Yeah. What Chuck Todd say? Didn't he say that he thought this was that he was going to resign before this got to next Monday?
Because they're hoping somebody's going to come out.
Right. Well, but I don't understand that, because seriously, I like the background on Brett Kavanaugh. His credentials, seems like a really smart conservative judge. But they can find another. He's not the only one in town. They can find another one, but I guess they're thinking we can just keep doing this until we win the Senate, and then we just got to keep this ball going until January something.
Well,
I don't think they can do
though,
it.
And long term though, damage is who would want this job? You know, are you going to get people that are like,
there's a lot of lawyers out there that would give anything to be a Supreme Court justice.
Not me. Oof, God. To put your family through this?
No. I understand.
But I bartended for a lot of years.
I watched people do
crazy stuff.
I was maybe in your bar, because I'm telling you, I couldn't get past first base if they did a background check on me. So, I mean, the only way I could ever get to be nominated and get through one of these processes is to come out and start admitting every crazy thing I've ever done right up front. You won't believe what I did.
It's not just you, it's the family. You know, they're going to go through all your family members and your, you know, yep. I have a pretty squeaky clean background. I never did drugs. I never did any of that stuff. But I wouldn't want them looking into my family's background and my friend's background. I mean, what an incredibly narcissistic thing to do.
Well, remember they went after Kavanaugh's wife because she sat on the town planning committee or something for some little town in Maryland.
Yeah.
They went and got her records. They were looking.
I don't think they want this hearing to happen, because Spartacus moment showed this can backfire on them personally as well.
Well,
I think if there's any way they can get him to step down before Monday, they're going to try.
Well, it works both ways. If the Republicans, let's say the hearing takes place, if the Republicans beat up on this woman and look like they're being mean, that will hurt the Republicans in November, according to the political pundits. On the other hand, if Mr. Spartacus moment and Kamala Harris start going crazy, it'll hurt the Democrats for being Looney Tunes. So they all have a lot at stake here, and they can all be damaged depending upon their behavior. I really mean it. I would love to have the two, Brett Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford, at the same table at the same time. And it's like, what you do with your kids? All right, kids, come in here. All right, who did it? I want to... Right? They all look at each other?
You just have to wonder if it's a case of mistaken identity.
That's a legitimate theory.
I mean, she could be absolutely speaking from the heart and truthful and still be wrong.
Oh, yes. In fact, I got a cut from Jonathan Turley saying, oh, if somebody, one of them's lying. And I'm thinking, not necessarily. No. Our memories are very faulty. Both of them could believe exactly what they're saying. I still would like to know how she got there. Did she go by herself? How did she get the invitation? I'd like a little more background on that, but I presume those questions will be asked if she shows.
That's the problem. She can't tell you, and her attorney says it's not fair to ask somebody who's been trying to forget something all these years to remember it.
Yeah, well, if you're going to accuse somebody of something, you better have your ducks in order, or don't do it.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
All right.
Mark, always good to talk to you. I always appreciate your call. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. Here's Jonathan Turley, cut 10, saying there's no middle ground.
When you have a case where someone is alleging a sexual assault or rape, either it's that person's a victim or that person is a liar, and you don't have any midpoint. If you finish midpoint, the jury tends to rule against the defendant. So the Republicans are going to be in a tough position. Either they're going to have to address this or not.
Yeah, I like Jonathan Turley, but I really do think if this isn't some political hit job, which I believe it is, but if this really, did it happen, did it not happen, I think you can have a memory of an event that is totally different than other people have. And you'll pass a lie detector test because you truly believe you're telling the truth.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
A lot of emails, a lot of tweets coming in. Tammy says, I'm frustrated that Ms. Brizzy and her attorney have been given too much control. If the Senate calls you, you answer the phone. It's almost as if the tail is wagging the dog and she and her attorney are pulling the reins. But that's the thing. You don't dare want to push back, fight back. You'll be mean. Paul says, number one, delay in hopes Dems win the Senate. Number two, give Dems an out to vote no. Number three, neuter his Supreme Court opinions. Yeah, pretty much. The November 6th election doesn't put if the Democrats win the Senate, they're still not in charge until January. I got to look up the date. Whenever the Senate starts convening again in January, Democrats are not in control. Republicans stay in control through the rest of November and through December and the first week or so of January. Get some of this. This happened just before we started the show. This is Mitch McConnell in the halls of the Senate said that Christine Blasey Ford will have the chance to testify on Monday.
Well, Dr. Ford has talked to the Washington Post, indicated she wants to talk to the committee. And we're going to give her that opportunity on Monday. There have been multiple investigations. Judge Kavanaugh has been through six FBI investigations in the course of his lengthy public career. We want to give the accuser an opportunity to be heard, and that opportunity will occur next Monday.
Okay. Then he says the hearing, however... Again, they're bending over backwards for this lady, saying it can be private. If she wants it private, we'll do it privately, although I don't know the public will put up with that.
She's going to have an opportunity to be heard Monday. The committee will make decisions about the makeup of the hearing, but she's been asking for the opportunity to be heard, and she's going to be given the opportunity to be heard on Monday. As Senator Cornyn pointed out, she could do it privately if she prefers, or publicly if she prefers. Monday is her opportunity.
So, Mitch McConnell, are you worried about Kavanaugh's chances?
No, I'm not concerned about tanking the nomination. We've been meeting with the committee to agree to a process that is fair to the woman who is accusing here, that everybody can agree is a fair process. And the committee has agreed to do it the way I just outlined. I think that gives her ample opportunity to express her point of view. And Judge Kavanaugh, of course, has been anxious for days to discuss the matter as well.
All right. We'll play what we can of this. This is Judge Andrew Napolitano. Cut eight, Andy. I know we're not going to get it all in, but the judge says this could all come down to just a few senators.
Even the president, who's been pushing aggressively to have Judge Kavanaugh confirmed as Justice Kavanaugh in time to sit with the Supreme Court the first Monday in October, recognized yesterday that this will take a little time. The Democrats would like a full-fledged FBI investigation of Dr. Ford and her husband and her therapist and whoever else can corroborate this. The polygraph administrator, what questions were put to her and how did she respond? Was there any equivocation? And, of course, they also want the FBI to interrogate Judge Kavanaugh, the so-called lookout who says it didn't happen, anybody else that can corroborate Judge Kavanaugh's side. I don't think that's going to happen. I think on Monday we will hear from Dr. Ford, and she will be examined by all members of the committee, and then we'll hear from Judge Kavanaugh, and he'll be examined by all members of the committee, and then the Senate rules permit one corroborating witness for each side. We don't know who, if any, those people will be. When this happened in 1991, talking about Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas, Professor Hill was effectively demolished by a brilliant and withering and fierce cross-examination conducted by the late Senator Arlen Specter, the former Philadelphia district attorney. Mm-hmm. I don't think that can happen today in the Me Too era. Dr. Ford cannot be treated as aggressively as Senator Specter treated Professor Hill. It's an entirely different era. She may very well be a victim. She may very well be a liar. She may very well be a dupe. Here's my question. What happens if at 5 o'clock Monday afternoon, it's a draw? I mean, there are no rules. There's not a court of law where she has to prove her case by more evidence or he has to disprove her case by more evidence.
To sum up, if nothing, if you can't really figure it out from their testimony, if it happens on Monday, then how is the Senate Judiciary Committee going to vote?
From New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan.
So before we move on, because I do want to bring up this declassifying of documents that the president has ordered. But I just got a tweet from Sungmin Kim. She is a reporter for the Washington Post. And she said that the Washington Post has just obtained this letter. It is addressed to Charles Grassley and Dianne Feinstein from a law firm, Cozen O'Connor. They are located on 19th Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. It says, Dear Chairman Grassley and Ranking Member Feinstein, I represent Mark Judge. Mr. Judge asked me to convey the following statement. Quote, I did not ask to be involved in this matter, nor did anyone ask me to be involved. The only reason I am involved is because Dr. Christine Blasey Ford remembers me as the other person in the room during the alleged assault. In fact, I have no memory of this alleged assault. Brett Kavanaugh and I were friends in high school, but I do not recall the party described in Dr. Ford's letter. More to the point, I never saw Brett act in the manner Dr. Ford describes. I have no more information to offer the committee, and I do not wish to speak publicly regarding the incidents described in Dr. Ford's letter. Signed by Barbara Van Gelder, counsel for Mark Judge. So, I don't blame him, but you heard Judge Napolitano talking about the fact, well, you have both of these people come forward and offer their testimony under oath, and they should both be able to bring a corroborating witness. Well, Mark Judge said, don't ask me. I don't want to testify. I want nothing to do with this. So, I mean, if they subpoena him, I'm not quite sure where this goes. He said, please, please, please. So I was looking at Brett Kavanaugh and his friend, and I don't know. Judge is a big conservative guy. He was buddies with Kavanaugh. That makes sense. He's a conservative writer. He, according to USA Today, has written controversial things about women. So he doesn't want all that drug up from wherever and have him be under the gun. Did you say in this article back in 2012, such and such, you know, he doesn't want to do it. He described himself as a filmmaker as well as a writer. He described the movie Pulp Fiction as not about controlling and hurting women, although there's some of that. It's an expression of authentic male passion, of sweaty sexiness. If you saw Pulp Fiction, I think that's the only movie I've ever walked out on. I did not like that movie. Anyway, so that's Mark Judge. He's saying, I don't want to talk. Don't ask me to come. I don't remember a thing. I don't remember the party she described in her letter. I don't remember Brett Kavanaugh ever acting in the way she described in her letter. Oh, one more thing to clear up before we move on. Yesterday, it was brought up, and I had the documents with me yesterday, about the foreclosure activity against Christine Blasey Ford's parents in Maryland back in 1996, and the judge in the case was Martha Kavanaugh, judge's mother. If you go through all the documents, I don't think this was ever brought up yesterday. I just want to make sure you understand. The records show that Ralph and Paula Blasey purchased a house in Potomac, Maryland, a very nice upscale neighborhood, by the way. This was June of 1977. According to Montgomery County Circuit Court records, August of 96, almost 20 years later, a company called UMLIC 8 Corporation initiated foreclosure proceedings against the couple. I don't know where this mortgage came from. Maybe they refied because it was almost 20 years later. I don't know. Anyway, by December of 96, the Blaseys went out and found another mortgage company to give them a mortgage to pay off the one that was in bankruptcy or foreclosure proceedings. So in January of 97, they paid off the loan from the company that initiated the foreclosure proceedings and filed a motion to dismiss their foreclosure petition. Judge Kavanaugh granted the motion on February 4th, 1997, bringing an end to the foreclosure proceedings against the Blaseys. So they were not foreclosed upon. There was a foreclosure proceeding. Judge Martha Kavanaugh was the judge on the case, but when all was said and done, they solved their foreclosure problem by getting another loan to pay off the other one. So I know people are out there going, this is some sort of retaliation by her for Judge Kavanaugh foreclosing on her parents. No, she never foreclosed on them. In fact, she went ahead and granted the motion to dismiss the foreclosure proceeding. So I've got to stretch anyway. But it's an interesting little... All that kind of stuff is going to come out in this kind of case. All right, let's move on, because I want to get to this other story, and it's Washington cover-up, all that sort of what's going on. So today, President Trump announced he was ordering the Director of National Intelligence, Rhodes, I'm sorry, Direct DNI, to go ahead and declassify at the Department of Justice the whole series of documents related to the Russia investigation. White House says these documents are to include portions of the Carter Page FISA warrant application and FBI reports connected to the application, FBI reports on interviews with Bruce Ohr, and text messages of James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and Bruce Ohr. So this is President directing the Department of Justice to release all those messages as well as declassify other material related to the Russia investigation. So what is this going to accomplish? Well, a group of Republicans in Congress have asked the president to do this. They argued for some time that this material would prove that the FBI had additional information which would have undercut the surveillance application filed with the FISA court. So if you've been following this story, this argument about the FISA abuse at the FBI has been going on for months. Devin Nunes released a memo back in February arguing the FBI left out information that would have been critical for a judge to see. Adam Schiff responded, saying with his own memo that it was all political nature. And he claimed the ultimate source funding the dossier, Hillary Clinton, could not be named because that would have unmasked her identity. So at this point, we don't have the documents, but they have now been told to be released, and I think we're finally going to get, hopefully, down to where we have documents that say what exactly happened. We've seen some of the text between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, but there is more. And this includes messages from Jim Comey and Andrew McCabe and Bruce Ohr. And from what the early reporting on this is that Andrew McCabe was very much involved in all of this right from the beginning. Take a short break and be right back.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
So, you can follow me on Twitter. The address is at Sullivan Radio. Arthur sends me a tweet, says, strategic timing to release the FBI documents just prior to the midterm election. Smart. Well, we'll see what they say, but look at the what's at stake here. I know that the political wonks are all going crazy about this thing. About the Dems have their talking points, the Republicans have their talking points, but this really comes down to a question that we should all have. Did the Obama administration use the power of their investigative agencies, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, to spy on a political campaign? That needs to be answered without any question for anybody. Because if it's not answered, then what is to stop Donald Trump from doing the same thing to whoever runs against him in 2020? That's the point. This can work both ways. We have to have some sort of procedure, device, something that will prevent an administration from spying on a political opponent. Can't have that. That's what they do in Russia. No, they don't even do that in Russia. They just kill the opponent. So Peter King weighs in, the congressman from Long Island, and he says that the release will show, because he's on the Intelligence Committee, he says it will show that the FISA court was being used to spy on an election campaign.
The American people will find out that there was no basis for these FISA warrants, that the important information was kept from the court. There's going to be a disproportionate influence of the dossier.
Yeah. We'll see. Carter Page has piped up, said he's been, I mean, he's kind of a goofball guy, but he's the guy who was spied on over and over and over. They kept going back to the FISA court and say, we need to spy on this guy, an American citizen. Now, I agree. I've said it many times. This guy looked like, if you want your intelligence people to spy on somebody, this guy kind of looks like he would be subject number one. So because he did business with a lot of Russians and he did business with a lot of Russian mob guys, that doesn't mean he did anything wrong, and it looks like he never did anything wrong, or they would have charged him with something. He's an oil guy. Got a PhD in oil or something. I don't know. But he does a lot of business with some questionable Russians. But our government still has to be honest in getting a warrant to follow an American citizen, no matter how suspicious it looks. And Carter Page says he's glad that these documents will be released.
My biggest concern is all the damage that this did to the U.S. government, mockery it made out of the Constitution, and, you know, all of the wrongdoing that was done by various officials.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out. And there might be some nervous Obama administration people who are getting very nervous because they thought Hillary was going to win. They could do this. Nobody would ever know the difference. So Tom Winter, who is a reporter for NBC, even said it's good that this information will finally be getting out to the public.
The more information that we have, the better it is for us. It gives the public, obviously, an opportunity to get a better insight and to get a better understanding into this process, because we can look at it and we can understand it. But I think the risk potentially here for the Trump administration and for the president himself and those closest to him is that information that might not normally meet the standard for the court of criminal law might now come into the court of public opinion. There may be text messages, there may be information that is revealed in the declassification and the publication of these documents that frankly would not normally enter into a case or not into any of the cases we've heard that's been brought by the special counsel so far, but might be information that the public might find concerning, might be information that will give us frankly more leads and stories to pursue. So I think that there is some potential exposure here for the president and for those closest to him, Hallie. In addition to that, I think that there's some questions and some concerns here as far as how much information would have actually been shared. We know from the Lisa Page and the Strzok text message exchanges, there was a lot of palace intrigue. There was a lot of information about what they thought about the president, but there wasn't a lot of information in there as far as particular facts about the investigation that they had just launched or into any of their work, frankly. So how much information really was exchanged over text messages? I have heard that Andy McCabe was very much involved in the Russian investigation as it got started. So perhaps there's some text messages there. But if people are looking to find out the personal opinions of Andy McCabe and Jim Comey as it relates to the president, well, you know, I don't think I need to give you a spoiler alert. I think we know where they stand on that.
Yeah, so no question. They didn't like candidate Trump. They didn't like President Trump. I get his point about the fact that it may show some things that would be embarrassing somehow or problematic for the president and his campaign team. I think he skipped over the problematic issue regarding the Obama team, the Susan Rices of the world and that crowd. That did they or did they not? I would like to know, did they or did they not abuse their power? And if they did, even if they didn't, we need to make sure that nobody in the CIA, the FBI, the National Security Advisor, none of those people can order some sort of spy on a candidate running for public office. I don't know where this is going to go, but stand by for it. This is not over. I know it gets very wonky for a lot of us about, oh, they're griping at each other again about some political point they want to make, and they're all a bunch of spinmeisters. Now, I don't think the Republican in Congress or the Democrats in Congress are well equipped to really do a good investigation. They're just the nature of their jobs. So releasing the documents to the public, you and I can read them and see exactly what they were up to, what their report said. We know what their text messages said between Strzok and Page. Jay Sokolow, who is one of Trump's attorneys, says we can now know more about the origins of how this whole Russian investigation got started.
I think what's most important here is the American people are going to have a look, finally, at what actually was the beginning. What was it that started this inquiry in the first place?
Yeah, there's a big debate about what started it. Some say Papadopoulos started it. Others say that's not true. So I think it's important to make sure that people in power do not use their power, weaponize our national security system in order to defeat a candidate, an opposition. All right, 855-295-6600. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back.